Now, before I preach this message, I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, and man, is that really loud or is that just me? It's really loud. I know I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, but this is still an encouragement, or I hope is an encouragement to you. And I don't have a Bible verse for us to start off in. If you want to follow along in your Bibles tonight, you can. I don't have a text verse. I've got quite a few verses. But I want to talk to us tonight about why is church so important. I've been praying about this for a while. How do I convey? Because there's things that I get that I know because I've experienced in my life, you know, because of what I've seen God do in my life because of church. And so how do you convey that? And how do you take the scripture and really help folks to understand? And I want folks to understand it's important to go to church. And it's not important because it's your duty or because someone says so. I want to look at God's word and see the benefits of going to church. There's seven benefits we're going to look at tonight. Well, there's seven reasons why it's important to go to church. Some are benefits, some are just commands, but I want to look at these. First one is, it is a great place to show our love for God. Church is a great place to show our love for God. Brother Justin hit to the fact that we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul. Amen? That's our first and greatest commandment. That's our job. That's what we're told to do. That's a commandment for us to love Him. And what better place to show your love for God than the house of God? I mean, look, if I want to show my wife that I love her, I have to go to her house to show her that I love her. It helps. That's where she's at. Guess what? That's where He's at. It's a good place to come and show Him that you love Him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 says, "Whosoever thou therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before the Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Our love should be public. Folks ought to know you love the Lord. Especially the folks in God's house should know that you love the Lord. It's a great place to show our love for God. Because our love should be public, it's the place to give our offerings of praise, thanks, and honor. It's a great place to come and praise God. And I know we don't have a piano player, and God's going to fix that, isn't He? So I know He will, okay? I'm praying for that. And I know He's going to give us some piano player. Piano players would be even nice. You know, I know God's going to give us those things. And I know that these soundtracks sometimes make you want to pull a gun out and shoot your brains out. I know this. Okay? But the thing is, and we've talked about this before, praise isn't about the soundtrack. Praise is about the heart. And if our heart is where it ought to be, and listen, folks, this is where we're coming to show God that we love Him, then let's have a heart filled with love for Him. And come here, and the praise gets a little bit easier. And look, I know you come in and, you know, you've got this thing on your mind. I was going to combine the two, you know. Anyways, we have things in our heart and our mind, things, cares that we're carrying around, all these things, and it's hard to just let all that stuff go. But, man, this is a great place to come and show God that we love Him. This is where we can come and offer up our praise, our thanks, and honor Him. Psalms chapter 22, verse 22 says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." It ought to be a it's okay to say amen. Oh, yesterday we had a memorial service here, and praise God, I got to give the gospel message to some folks that I don't believe have heard it. I've got to give the gospel message to some folks that maybe haven't heard it in a while. But there were some folks here that knew the Lord. And I know this because they freaked everybody out when they said amen. But it's okay. I said, go ahead, you say amen. I like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let God know. Let everybody else know. Listen, you want to prove that you love God? Show it. Show it. Praise Him. In the congregation, it's a place to serve Him and be a blessing to Him. Psalms 134 says, "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." It's okay to raise your hands. It's okay to raise your hands in church. It's okay to have a good time. If it's in the Spirit, you're not doing nothing wrong. Amen? We're supposed to worship God. There's two rules. There's only two rules. That's it. That's it. Just two. There's not a whole bunch of, you got to dress like this and act like this and go here. No, it's in spirit and in truth. That's it. Those are the two rules for worshiping God. So if you've got the Holy Spirit and you're looking at the truth, have at it. Praise the Lord. Have a good time in God's house. It says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord hath made heaven and the earth. Bless thee out of Zion. God's been too good to us for us to sit on our hands in the church pew and just try our very best to not show any emotion at all, ever. He's been too good to us. We got to let folks know that you love the Lord. You know, I got to be honest with you. When I see you loving the Lord, it encourages me. And I'm going to just guess, I think I'm pretty accurate on this, it's encouraging someone else too. You don't know who's looking. You don't know who's paying attention. Praise God. And then he deserves our love and our devotion. He deserves it. Amen? Revelations 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Church is important because it's a great place to show your love for God. Church is a great place to build up our spiritual strength. Amen? I know there are those that hate this story because they've heard it too many times. Those of you that were faithful to RU, and my wife is the leading among this, the black dog and the white dog. Brother Currington gives a reference to the black dog and the white dog. And the point of the story is, whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to be the strongest to win. And the Indian would do that. He would feed the black dog and make sure the black dog won. Or he would feed the white dog and make sure the white dog won. Whichever one he fed. And it's the same thing with us. Whichever one we feed, because we are, remember what we said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways this morning? We have a dual nature in the fact that we have our sin nature, and we have what has been given to us by God, our spirit. And whichever one we feed, well, that's the one that's going to be the strongest. You know, I think that we struggle so much with sin because we only go to church 3 times a week. So here at Faith Baptist Church, we're going to start having church every day, 4 hours a day. Just kidding. But I'm telling you, it'd be a benefit. It would. It'd make me have to work a lot harder, and that'd be beneficial for me. But it would be good. The thing is, we don't feed. I mean, look, man, we got our jobs. And listen, not everybody gets to be a pastor of a church and not have to work out in the world, which I've done for years and years, okay? I know what it's like to work out there. I know what it's like to have folks that just don't know God or care that you know God or want anything to do with God around you, and it comes out their mouth and it comes out their actions, and sometimes it comes at you. I get all that. I know that. And you have that. And then you have, you know, we'll sit in front of the boob tube and let all kinds of wickedness go into our mind and into our hearts watching television. We'll spend all that time, but how much time do we spend in God's Word? How much time do we spend getting to know Him and getting closer to Him? Well, church is a great place to do that. It's a great place to build up your spiritual strength. Receiving and preaching, receiving the preaching and teaching of God's Word increases and strengthens our faith. Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And what a great place to hear the Word of God, but church, that's what you ought to be hearing when you go to the house of God. Amen. We need our spiritual strength for the battle. We're in a battle, amen. And Ephesians talks about the armor of the Lord. We're to stand against the wiles of the devil. What's the wiles? He's going to try and trick you. He's going to try and trip you. He's going to try and mess you up. And let me tell you something. There's never been a time in my life where I've said, I'm going to take that step for the Lord, where the devil don't put his leg out there and try and make me fall. There's never been a time. That's what he does. Because you know what he doesn't want? He doesn't want me to have spiritual strength. He doesn't want me to be able to stand against his wiles. He doesn't want me to be able to stand against the powers of darkness in high places of this earth. He doesn't want me to be able to do that. He wants me to cower in fear of those things. He wants me to stay back and let my carnality have more rule over my body than the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit. But we need to stand. We need to put on the armor of God because we are in a spiritual battle. And you know, in verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, that's important for all of the house of God to put on the armor of God. You know why? Because, you know, I was in the military for a little bit, and you know what? I would much rather go into battle with 100 guys than one guy. Amen? One gun ain't going to get much done. But you give me 100 of them, you can do more. And so we all need to be doing what we're supposed to do, letting God strengthen us spiritually. Why? So we can stand together. We are in this fight together, Faith Baptist Church. Amen? It's okay. You can say amen. I know it's true. What better? What's better, a soldier or a band of brothers? So church is a great place to show our love. It's a great place to get our spiritual strength built up. And it's a special place of the Lord's presence and power. Look, I know that I've got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of me. I mean, that alone is amazing. The one who measures the universe by the span of his hand lives in my heart. You understand that? Isn't that amazing? And that's wonderful. And I can sit down at my devotion time, and I can get in my prayer closet, and I can feel as close to him as ever. And I can. And those are great things that every child of God should be doing. But here, this is a place where we can get special power and special presence from the Lord. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You get that? Why do we have Wednesday night prayer meeting? Well, we have it so that we can come together, bring our burdens one to another, and get collectively together and ask God to give us his presence and his power. If you're coming for any other reason, get that fixed. Because that's why we're here on Wednesday nights. Yes, we learn about God's Word, and we're getting our spiritual strength built up. But listen, and if you're coming to God's house not expecting for God to be here, will you fix that, please? Because I expect Him to be here. And two or three ain't that many, but if two or three get it done, what do you think 40 or 50 are going to do? If 40 or 50 of us are here, all calling on God, all expecting him to show up and show off, you don't think he'll do it? Well, he's promised to do it for two or three. Imagine what kind of power God would show if we just truly let him come in the midst. But it scares us, doesn't it? Somebody shouts, "Amen!" And we're like, that spiritual freak, fanatic. And we want to go away from him. Oh, man, we ought to embrace that. Get excited with them. We ought to expect for God to move in us. Because see, usually when someone's shouting like that, then God's moving in them. And God's doing something. Well, it's a good virus, the Spirit is. And if you'll let it catch on, we'd have us church. And it'd be fun. It's a good place because we can really get special power and special presence from the Lord. It's a place of fellowship. Our fourth point is it's a place of fellowship with other Christians. I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible teaches us that to be right with God, we have to be right with each other. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you trespasses." You know, there ain't a one of us in here perfect, Brother Justin. Most of all you, I know this. But there's not a one of us in here that are perfect. And church is a place where we've got to learn how to be together. And you know, there are times where I'm going to say something, it's going to rub you the wrong way, it's going to irritate you or hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. You're more than welcome to come and tell me that. And I won't laugh at you for more than three or four. I'm just kidding. And I'll try my best to make it right. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody. That is not my desire. I want us to be able to get along. And we should all feel that way. We should all feel like we should be able to get together. But we're imperfect people. So you know what we got to be? We've got to be broken together. We've got to understand. Listen, I can't hold Mike Pratt up to any higher standard than I hold myself up to. Okay? And I fall every day. So I sure can't expect him not to. But we should be able to lift each other up. That's what fellowship is. We're all in the ship together trying to keep it afloat. Amen? Trusting God mostly to keep it afloat. John chapter 2, verse 9 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Fellowship of imperfect people requires a practice of love for each other. You know what love is, right? We're going to define it again because I like for y'all to make sure you know it. Love is the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without thought of return. And it is the second commandment. We're supposed to love God with all of our heart and our mind and our soul, and we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. I had someone tell me the other day, and we're supposed to love folks more than we love ourselves. No, thank God, God doesn't give us that rule, because there's no man could live up to it. It's hard enough to love somebody as much as myself, let alone more than myself, because let's just face it, we like taking care of number one, don't we? It's okay, you can say amen. I know it's true. We do. We like taking care of number one. But if we'll take care of each other like we want to be taken care of, the golden rule, treat others as you want to treat yourself, or want yourself treated, I'll get it right. It's not Bible, so I don't know. Anyways, fellowship of imperfect people requires a practice of love. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." See, this, we talked about this Wednesday night, this walk. We're all in a different spot in our walk, but we all ought to be paying attention to our walk, and that it's not leaving anything behind for anyone else to stumble over, or that we're not being a hindrance to somebody in front of us because we're dragging. Amen? And so that's what church is. Church is us learning how to get along with each other. It takes meekness, it takes humility, and it takes a love for one another. Our fifth reason for why it's so important to be at church is attending church is an act of obedience to God. Y'all know what obedience is, right? Well, it's the very best way to show that you believe. And obedience to God is attending church. It's a commandment in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." That did say not, which means don't. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, lifting each other up, encouraging one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." You know what that means? If pastor says we're going to have church every day, then we should agree and go. That's what that means. But I'm sit back, relax. I'm not going to say that. Not yet anyways, okay? But so much more as the day is approaching, we should be taking church even more seriously about this obeying God and being where we're supposed to be. And not attending church when you know you're supposed to attend church is a willful sin. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifices for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation which shall devour the adversaries." It says, look, if you're not in here, you'll get messed up with them out there. If you're not in here, if you're not obeying me, if you're not where you're supposed to be, you're going to get messed up with them out there. And that's not what God wants for us. James chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." And when God has told you that you're not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, for the child of God to do anything else is not just presumptuous sin, but it's willful sin. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Number six is it's a place to be held accountable to spiritual leadership. It's a place to be held accountable to spiritual leadership. Now listen, this is a hard one for folks to swallow because we don't like nobody telling us what to do. Amen goes right there. I know it's true because I don't like it no more. Listen, my wife knows this. If she wants me to do something, she's got to tell me not to do it. And if she doesn't want me to do it, she's got to tell me to do it. Why? Well, I've got a rebellious heart. And I know I'm not the only one. I know this. And so, we should be held accountable for these things. We have to have someone that we're accountable to. Now, well, pastor, who are you accountable to? Well, I'm accountable to that woman right there. Okay, I'm supposed to submit myself to her just as she's supposed to submit herself to me, but I'm accountable to him. And we'll see some passages here that I'm accountable for quite a bit because I have to stand and account for you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." That means, listen, you watch how your pastor walks, you watch how he talks, you watch how he is, and then try and follow, as long as it's going with God's word. That's what it says. And then it says in chapter 13, verse 17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." You know what God just told y'all, if you were listening? You know what he just said? You should do what the pastor says. And now, I'm not a pushy guy. I don't think I am. Shut up. I'm pushy to you because you're my assistant. Hush. I'm not here to be your boss. I'm here to be an encouragement to you. But for you to do other, and this cracks me up when folks come to me and they want counsel, it's very rarely that they listen to it and do it. And that astounds me. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's your choice. And the thing is, it does make a little sense to me because I remember a few times that I went to my pastor and sought his counsel and didn't like what he said and did what I thought was right. And guess what it did? It wasn't profitable for me. It was unprofitable. It didn't work out the way that I wanted it to. And I could see that maybe if I'd have done it the way my pastor had counseled me to do it, then it might have turned out better. See, I can't explain it. It just is the way that it is. God shows me things he doesn't show you. And I'm not saying, ooh, Pastor Hoff special. I'm not saying that, okay? But I have a discernment that God gives me because of the role that he's placed me in, okay? So there are things that I might see that you may not see. And I promise you this, I will do my very dead level best. One thing I loved about Pastor Groves is he never told me what the will of God was for my life. Other than, listen here, I will tell you the will of God for your life. Are you ready? There's four things that I know to be the will of God for your life. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, witness to others. Oh, five things. Tithe. Those five things. You do those five things, you'd be amazed how little help and counsel you'll need from me. Okay? But those five things are the will of God for your life. But beyond those five things, does God want me to have this job or does God want me to go this route or should I move over here? Those things, I'm not going to tell you what God's will is, but I will do my best to encourage you to discern what God's will is, and we can pray for it together and let God be the judge of where we go and what we do and how we do it, because that's the biblical way to do it. And that's what this leadership is about and what God is telling you that you're to be accountable to. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." And it's not just about the pastoral leadership, but you've got Sunday school teachers, you've got youth leaders, and you've got the one that God has placed over you as a spiritual advisor. You should listen to the counsel that they give you. God is encouraging it, and church is a great place to get. Listen, you're not going to find those things outside. I've got a life coach, Pastor. Have a pastor, okay? Have the Lord. Number seven, I'll move on. Church is where we honor the Lord's day. The Lord's day. Not the Lord's morning, but the Lord's day. Now, there are those that say, Sunday is not the Sabbath, therefore I am not breaking God's law by not going on Sundays. And if churches would have church on Saturdays, then I would go. Okay, fine. But I'm going to tell you this. Even though Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, the New Testament kind of changes some things. See, in the New Testament, we see Sunday, the first day of the week, to be viewed as the Lord's day because of Christ's resurrection. When did Christ rise again? We just celebrated Easter last week. Very early in the morning on when? It's okay, y'all say it. It's okay. The first day of the week. On the first day of the week. And what day is that? Is it Saturday? No, it's Sunday. So the church in Christ's time picked Sunday to become the Lord's day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. See, because of Christ's resurrection, they decided to start meeting for worship, to give offerings, to observe communion, and to hear the word of God preached on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 16:1 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Church ought to be on the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is on Sunday, the first day of the week. And it says the Lord's day. Now, I'm never going to lambast somebody for not coming to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. But I'm going to encourage you every Sunday to come Sunday morning and Sunday night because it's the Lord's day. He gave his life for you. You ought to be able to give a day to him. Amen goes right there. Now, you will not find an individual in the New Testament that grew and was used by God the way that God intended outside of the local, called apart assembly of saints or the church. And I know I'm talking to folks that are here on a Sunday night, but these are good reminders. And there might be some here that didn't know these things. Church is a great place. You know, church is a great support group. Listen, I've got friends here. I am closer to my church family and have been for years, long before I became pastor, than I am to my own family. Not that I'm estranged from my family, but listen, my family doesn't know me the way that my church family does. They don't see me here as much. My church family is folks that I can share things with, that I can bear my burdens to, that I can bring these. Man, what a great support group. My social and spiritual needs are met here. See, we like social interaction. Some folks do, okay? Some folks are hermits, like my wife. She does not like, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, honey. Don't yell at me. Some folks just don't like social interaction that much. But this is a good place for social interaction. And some folks just crave it. And this meets the needs of both, because you can just sit off over by yourself and enjoy everybody else having social interaction. Okay? But here today, nowadays, this is social interaction. I just messaged you. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, if I want to poke somebody, I can reach out and poke them. But church is a great place for these things. This is a good place to show God you love Him. This is a good place to get your spiritual strength built up. This is a good place to offer up your praise and your thanks. We do owe it to Him. He is worthy of it. Now, I don't know what the Lord said to you, but the altar's open. Let's stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Matt's going to play us an invitation song. Maybe you just need to come up here and ask God to help you understand how valuable church can be. And I know, again, I'm talking to folks that are here on a Sunday night. And I thank God that you're here. Is church important to you?